Good morning, and love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited about the new study we're doing for the next 40 days. The next 6 weeks we're going to be studying about the Word of God and how we can learn to study God's Word, and it can change us. And our hope is that you'll get a hunger and thirst for God's Word, because it's how we receive the Holy Spirit. And it's how our lives are changed. Hopefully you'll love it and learn it and live it. The next six weekend messages. Number one is going to be next week will be the inspiration of the Scriptures. Why can I trust the Bible? The next week will be the foundation. What is the purpose of the Bible? The third Sunday will be illumination. How can I see what God wants me to see? The fourth, interpretation, how do I know what it means? Fifth, integration, how do I integrate God's Word into my life? And sixth, application, how can I use God's Word effectively? During this 40 days, if you'd like to, you can get a weekly devotional by going to 40daysintheword.com, and they actually have someone who gives a little message with the devotional, but it's 40daysintheword.com. And you're with Amazing Grace Christian Church. And if you have a problem, they have an 800 number you can call. But it's a daily devotional for the next 40 days. We'd also hope that you get plugged into some small group study, all right? Because we need to discuss it. We need to discuss God's Word. Like iron sharpens iron is what the Scriptures say. And I know Chris Hazel and I have been doing that for 10 years. They've become much sharper than I have, but we're still working on it, all right? You'll remember Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount with a story. There were two guys who built houses, right? And they built on different foundations. One built his house on sand and it collapsed, and the other built his house on the rock and it survived. And Jesus concluded, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like that wise man who built his house on the rock." And now what we're going to be discussing this first weekend for the kickoff weekend is, how do I build my life on the Bible, on God's Word? And I want to make it very clear that we believe the Bible is the Word of God. It is not just a book, all right? It's the living Word of God. Now, we can experience God's Bible and learn from it, from His Word. He gave us five senses. And what are the five senses? They're all dead. There you go. Very good. Hearing. Sight. Okay. Those are the five senses. Okay. So the first way we build our life on the Bible is we receive it with our ears. And this is based on James chapter 1, verses 19 to 25. Romans 10, 17 says, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." And then James 1, 19 to 21, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Accept in Greek means to receive as you would receive a stranger. It's to be hospitable. We should welcome the word. Say, "Come on in, okay? You're welcome into my heart." Many times in Scripture, receiving God's word is compared to planting a seed, right? And the seed grows depending on what kind of soil there is. You can plant seed in different locations with different results. And why is that? Soils are different. Some soil is prepared and other soils isn't, right? And I know in my life, my soil had to get pounded quite a bit before I received the Word of God. And do I hear an amen there? Sometimes that's what it takes, okay? But for good reception, first of all, we need to be quiet. We should be quick to listen and slow to speak. And when we're talking, that means we're not listening. And I would encourage you to make a time for prayer and study of Scripture, 15 minutes a day. And I know if you have kids or grandkids, take time, whether it's at night or in the morning, close your bedroom door and take your Bible. And you don't have to read a lot, okay? And in fact, with the book we have from Rick Warren, all you need is one verse, right? But take time. Make the time. There's so much noise in the world today, isn't there? And I'm probably one of the worst offenders because I either have a CD, a Christian CD playing, okay, or I'm listening to Christian radio, or else now I went out and bought some classic Christian books, Pilgrim's Progress, Here I Am by Martin Luther, and some others that I'm listening to. And it's much better to just have quiet sometimes, you know, because there's so much noise, right? So get a quiet place and a quiet time. Calm. And slow to become angry. I don't know about you, but I don't hear much when I'm angry. Do you? No. Okay. Watch out. Here I come, right? When we're emotionally upset, we're defensive. We need to be relaxed. And this helps us receive God's Word. And we can listen to God. So many times we want to pray, and we think praying is just talking to God. The best part of prayer for me now is when I shut up and listen, all right? Because He speaks to us. If we just shut up and listen, He'll speak to us. So quiet, calm, clean. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Pastor Warren says, before seeding, do some weeding, okay? Filth here in Greek is roparion, which means earwax. Okay? And earwax is kind of gross, huh? Alright? But get rid of that stuff that plugs up our hearing. Okay? Sin can block us from hearing, where we don't hear God's Word. And evil is anything that we know isn't right in our lives. And I had a great illustration this week that was given to me right here. One of our members, Enriquez Flores, her and her daughter were here at the Spanish Bible study, and she said, Pastor, I was at work and I was reading Rick Warren's book, and one of my coworkers came up to me and said, don't read that, here. And they threw a People magazine at her. And she said, no, I'm going to read this, okay? But temptations like that come, right? And Deanne chose wisely. There's also another illustration about getting rid of filth. You remember when I was gone, Pastor Perry waited until I was gone to do this, but he brought in a bag of trash. Do you guys remember that? Okay. We got to get rid of the trash, all right, before we listen to God, right? Because the trash becomes an encumbrance for us. Before we meet with God, we should take time for confession. And usually if you listen to God, the first thing that comes to mind is confession. And you just say, forgive me, Lord. Because when you come into the presence of a holy God, the first thing you realize is He is and I'm not. All right? Amen? The next one is one of my favorites. Humble. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. We should be humble. And in seminary, man, do they teach humility in seminary? No. Okay? We have everything figured out. There's an answer for everything. All right? What I've learned is the more I study, the more I don't know. All right? We're to humbly receive from God. That's why we should be quiet and read His Word to see what He has to say to us. All right? Not that what we have to say to Him isn't important, but it's much more important to hear what He has to say to us. Right? And here's one of my favorite Luther quotes. I don't know if she put it in here or not. Did she? She did. Wow, okay. Regarding pride. And this is primarily for pastors, but laity fall into this also, okay? If, however, you feel and are inclined to think you have made it, flattering yourself with your own little books, teachings, or writing, because you have done it beautifully and preached excellently. If you are highly pleased when someone praises you in the presence of others, if you perhaps look for praise and would sulk or quit what you are doing if you did not get it, if you are of that stripe, dear friend, then take yourself by the ears, and if you do this the right way, you will find a beautiful pair of big, long, shaggy donkey ears, all right? Then do not spare any expense. Decorate them with golden bells so that people will be able to hear you wherever you go. Point their fingers at you and say, "See, see, there goes that clever beast who can write such exquisite books and preach so remarkably well." Let us be proud and seek honor in the places we can. But in this book, the honor is God's alone. As it is said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. To whom be glory, world without end. Amen. And I believe the whole church needs to hear this, all right? We get so convinced that we have the right answer, right? The only one who has the right answer is seated on the throne. Amen? And that's why we need to be in God's Word. So humble ourselves. And if not, if we don't humble ourselves, guess what? God will help us out, won't He? All right? How many times do you open mouth, insert foot? A lot for me, all right? Four spiritual hearing aids. Be quiet, calm, clean, humble. And I didn't learn this in seminary, all right? They don't teach this in seminary. They teach you to have an answer for everything, all right? And some of the things I learned at one of the seminaries I went to, I'm trying to forget it as rapidly as I can, all right? So, okay, number two. Second way I build my life on the Bible, I read it with my eyes. James 1, 22-25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. To be blessed, do all these. Don't just read them. But I want to look at the phrase, look intently. What's look intently mean? Have you ever looked in the mirror in the morning? It can be frightening, huh? All right? And there's a couple ways we can look at a mirror, right? We can look at a mirror and just glance at it, or we can look at it closely, right? This is talking about looking at it closely. And guys, this is like a woman would look at the mirror, not us, okay? I know it's true, because I look at the mirror and I leave, and I think everything's fine, and sure enough, Robin looks at me and she says, "Do you know, blah, 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 blah," you know, and I said, "No, I didn't see that," okay? What's that? Yeah, I'm being contrary, yeah. He had the gift of riding with us to the LCMC gathering yesterday, Hector did, but every morning we get up and we assess the damage, and Rick Warren talks about this, and he says that women ask him, because he's Southern Baptist, if it's okay to wear makeup. Or is it a sin to wear makeup? And he says, no, it's not a sin to wear makeup. Okay? And in fact, he says, in some cases, it's a sin not to wear makeup. Only he can get away with that. All right? But the idea is we look spiritually. Look in the mirror and look at ourselves spiritually. When we look at God's Word, when we read it, we don't say, "Wow, I wish Hector was hearing this right now." Okay? When we read God's Word, we say, "What are you telling me, God? What does Rick need to fix?" Right? And it looks, it means we need to gaze at it intently. So we need to get a Bible reading plan. And I want to encourage you, just 15 minutes a day. Just 15 minutes a day. And see what happens, all right? This morning when I was doing my devotions, I was thinking about gazing in the mirror intently. And, John, I'm going to share what you told me. What is it, 3 months ago? 5 months ago? About 5 months ago, John came up to me and said, "Pastor, I can't give 80% of my life to God anymore. I've been doing that. I'm going to give 100%. And I said, "Well, what changed?" You know, I first of all, I was thankful, you know, and it's also convicted me, okay? Because do I give 100%? All right. So God's word came to me through you. But what happened to John? You want to say what happened to you, John? When you looked in the mirror? Come here. Come on. Can you come up here or no? I wasn't counting on this, but just talking to the mic there, all right?
What happened was I just got out of the shower, and I was drying off, and I looked in the mirror, and it was I know it came from God, but I don't know how to explain it. It's so weird. I had like a fast forward of me as I was, you know, the problems I was having, the things I was doing, the dope I was still doing, and going to church, and God showed me, this is you right now, and it's not good, and it was just ugly. And then out of nowhere, I looked back in the mirror again, and then there was another fast forward picture of me that, you know, where I could be if I gave all my life to God. And it was just it caught me off guard. I dropped, I cried, and I thanked God, and I started going straight ever since. It was an experience, you know, to see yourself before it even happened. I seen what I could be, and I said, that's what I want, and that's here I am.
Good job. That's what James means by looking in the scriptures and seeing yourselves, okay? And you can see now, John, I've known you for what, 5 years? I don't know. He has a glow about him now, you know? You've seen it, Hector, right? He's never had that before, you know? And it's because he's given himself to Christ, all right? And that's what happens when we get into God's Word. All right? Amen. And I can see a change in Hector, too. So thank you, Hector. Okay. Let's give him a round of applause. All right? Okay. The third way I can build my life on the Bible is I research it with my hands and my mouth. There's a difference between reading and studying. Bible study requires writing down what I learn. And Melissa and Robin will love this, writing down what you learn. And Hazel, okay, she likes to do that too. I hate doing it. And talking about what I learn. And where's the best place to talk about what you learn? Bible studies, right? Okay. Get into a group and talk about what you learn. Discern God's Word. You get the truth of God's Word more in a Bible study than you will listening to a pastor. And you can quote me on that. What really changes people is being in Bible study. Okay, you can change from hearing God's Word, absolutely, you know, and hearing God's Word's preached. But there's something that happens in Bible study. It cuts off the layers and it goes right to the heart, you know. Hazel and Chris and myself have been meeting, like I said, for 10 years. And our week just isn't right when we don't meet. And there's times we don't meet because people have doctor's appointments and stuff. But our weeks go better when we meet, all right? And that's how it works. John 5. You search the scriptures because you believe they give you eternal life. And the scriptures point to me, Jesus says, all right? And once again, the purpose for Pastor Perry and I, what we want you to get, we want you to receive the Holy Spirit and see Jesus Christ. All right? It's not just the book. If people understood, you can receive the Holy Spirit through this book and know Jesus Christ, Do you see why it's outlawed in so many countries? We heard stories yesterday about Vietnam and what they're doing there. Because of this. Because of God's Word. They're afraid of it there. Because they know what's in it. Unfortunately, Christians don't. All right? Acts chapter 17. The people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the Scriptures day after day to check up on Paul and Silas to see if they were really preaching the truth. That's where the Bible studies come into hand, Babby. You know, and you can say that Pastor Perry and I are preaching the truth because you study the Bible, right? And you can see what teaching is true and what teaching is false, all right? But Pastor Perry and I want amazing grace to be like Berea, all right? We want to be people of the Word. And traditionally, Lutherans have been people of the Word. And Protestants have been. But over the centuries, guess what? We lost it. And brothers and sisters, I'm saying it's time for us now to reclaim it. We know the power that is in God's Word. We know how it changes lives, all right? We've seen it. The other emphasis we're going to have that I haven't seen it so far in Rick Warren's stuff, I'm emphasizing the Holy Spirit, right? Because it's in the Scriptures that we experience the Holy Spirit and the life-changing power of God. And I want you to know that, all right? So the emphasis is we want you to be Bereans, but at the same time we want you to know that it's not just a book. All right, and don't let anybody tell you it's just a book. And don't let people tell you, well, you need to have a clergy help you figure out what's in there. Okay, yeah, you can ask Pastor Perry and I what's in there. But the Holy Spirit will guide you also. And the Holy Spirit will guide you in what you need to hear, Martha. Okay, and He'll guide me into what I need to hear. And you, what you need to hear, Melissa. Okay, fourth way I build my life on the Bible, I review it and remember it with my mind. James 1:25. The man who looks intently into the perfect law and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So we need to continually review and ponder and think about God's Word. And not forgetting, Pastor Rick Warren emphasizes memorizing Scriptures. A lot of pastors do. For me, I haven't been big on memorizing Scripture, but I memorize it just from reading it over the years. You know, you read the Gospel so many times, you just remember what Jesus' words are, okay? So whatever it takes, whether you take a verse and memorize it every week, that's fine, or whether you just become so familiar with it that you memorize it, it's good. And sending a scripture each day that I remember to my sons, okay? And I just put LOL, Dad, okay? And every day I do that. I don't get a reply. Sometimes I do. Most of the time I don't. But the bottom line is God's Word has gone forth, okay? The Bible term for remembering and reviewing God's Word is meditation. Meditation is not navel gazing, all right? In Eastern philosophy and religions, it is. They meditate on looking inside of us, all right? Brothers and sisters, the answer is not inside of us, all right? In 1 Corinthians, right? The foolishness of God is what we've got to be looking for, okay? The answers are in Him. It's not in us. And I know. I've looked for answers in here. Okay? And usually the answers are wrong. Okay? The right answers are found in God. Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it night and day so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And you can learn how to do this by reading the book Pastor Warren has there, or just by, you know, the daily devotionals if you get that online, or you're going to get some of it in the sermons we preach on Sundays, all right? But meditate on it. And the word meditate, if you look up for a synonym, it'll say ruminate. And we all know what ruminating is, right? It's what a cow does. It chews its cud, all right? And we heard a very vivid description of that on Tuesday, all right? Tuesday mornings, by the way, we have a small group video, the DVD that goes along with this, and we're watching that right now. But it's how a cow chews the cud, and we're supposed to be chewing over what God tells us, all right, in His Word. The fifth way is I build my life on the Bible. I respond to it with my actions. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. You notice there's a verb in every point of the teaching style here, not nouns. We're lying to ourselves, though, if we read God's Word and we're not living our faith. There's a disconnect, all right? And I think for too many years, many Christians, including myself, have been hearing God's Word but not applying it to our lives. And the purpose of God's Word is to change us and make us more like Jesus. And as Luther would say, so we can be little Christ to our neighbors, right? So that people will see Jesus in us, like we see Jesus in John and in Hector now, okay? All right? That's the purpose of God's Word. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Brothers and sisters, Pastor Perry and I, we don't want the storms of 2012 to let your lives collapse on you, okay? Are there going to be storms in 2012? Absolutely, all right? Are there going to be storms in our lives? Absolutely. We want you to be built on the rock, all right? So that you don't cave. Amen? So will you join me in prayer at this time? Lord God, we come before you today, and we want to build our lives on you and your word, Lord. During this next 40 days, Lord, help us to focus on your word and making your word the rock that we base our lives on. Come, Holy Spirit. We want to know you, Lord. We want to know your word. We want to know your desire for our lives. We want you to guide our lives, Lord. Because the answer doesn't lie in us. The answer lies in you, Jesus. And we want more of you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.